It is 5:20, and this is the KDLL Evening News for Wednesday, December 17, on 91.9 FM, Kenai Soldotna, listener-supported public radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula. Filling in for Ashlyn O'Hara, I'm Jake Dye. Thanks for tuning in. Coming up, U.S. Senator Dan Sullivan votes with Democrats on a failed bill to extend health care subsidies. But first, a federal grand jury has indicted two Alaska State Troopers shown on body camera video beating, tasing, and pepper spraying a Kenai man in a case of mistaken identity. KDLL's Ashlyn O'Hara has more.
Joseph Miller and Jason Woodruff are each charged with violating the man's civil rights. Neither were arrested following the federal indictment. In a news release, the U.S. Attorney's Office says Miller had no legal justification for the violent arrest. Prosecutors say Woodruff illegally used his police dog to bite the man when he did not pose a threat. The arrest was captured on body cameras. The state brought charges against Miller and Woodruff last summer after a routine use of force review. State prosecutors say body camera footage shows Woodruff and Miller tasing, pepper spraying, beating, and having their police dog maul Kenai man Ben Tika during an arrest near Dobbinspeck Park. The state charging document says troopers did not ask for Tika's name during the arrest and did not learn until later that the man they'd arrested was Ben and not his cousin, Garrett. Garrett had an outstanding warrant for failing to appear for a 10-day jail sentence for driving with a revoked license. Miller is no longer employed by the state of Alaska. Jason Woodruff remains employed by the department but has been on leave since the botched arrest. The union contract that covers public safety employees in Alaska says employees charged with a crime over professional conduct will be put on unpaid leave. The police dog involved in the arrest was also released from the department. If convicted in the federal case, Miller and Woodruff each face up to 10 years in prison. James Cockrell is the commissioner of the Alaska Department of Public Safety. He was quick to condemn Miller and Woodruff's conduct after reviewing the body-worn camera footage last year. In a statement provided to KDLL Tuesday, Cockrell called the alleged civil rights violations deeply concerning and contrary to the department's values. He wrote, quote, "While this is an unfortunate day for the Alaska State Troopers, the alleged actions of these two individuals do not reflect the professionalism of the hundreds of state troopers and DPS employees who serve Alaskans with integrity every day, often in the most challenging conditions in the United States." Cockrell said the department continues to cooperate with state and federal prosecutors. Woodruff's attorney declined to discuss the case. Miller's did not respond to a request for comment. Tuesday's announcement comes as Woodruff and Miller await trial in their respective state criminal cases. They are each facing first-degree assault charges. In September, a judge declined a request for Miller to dismiss the state's case against him. Miller and Woodruff are scheduled to go to trial next year. Reporting in Kenai, I'm Ashlyn O'Hara.
Federal funding for libraries and museums has been reinstated 9 months after the Trump administration sought to eliminate the agency that provides the money. The initial move sparked concern around Alaska, where dozens of tribes and villages rely on federal dollars to pay library staff and offer programming. At the time, a handful of libraries reported grant cancellations. But the U.S. agency known as the Institute of Museum and Library Services said in early December that all federal grants had been restored. The move came after a Rhode Island district court judge ruled that the funding cancellation was unlawful. Some libraries in Alaska that lost funding have received notice that it's been reinstated, but in at least two cases, that happened months before the recent ruling. The Tuzzi Consortium Library in Uktiavik saw a major grant cancellation earlier this year, but received a reinstatement notice in July. It said the agency had determined the grant was in line with the agency's priorities and the president's agenda. The library in the native village of Klukwan, outside Haines, lost the bulk of its funding in the spring. Both of the library's two grants have now been restored, Klukwan Library co-director Jamie Katzik said in an email. Katzik did not say when the funding was restored, but a school library newsletter published in August announced new hours and upcoming events. It said that was possible because the library had received a new grant and another had been reinstated. The dollars will provide funding for staff hours and community programming, Katzik said, adding the library is currently reworking its budget, but plans to be open 5 or 6 days each week. And finally, With U.S. Senator Dan Sullivan running for re-election next year, how he navigates the big controversies of President Trump's second term could determine his political future. Sullivan made a rare leftward tack last week, voting with Democrats on a failed bill to extend health care subsidies. Faced with a different hot controversy earlier that day, Sullivan opted for a political sidestep. Alaska Public Media Washington correspondent Liz Ruskin explains.
The subject of the armed services hearing was one of the biggest disputes of President Trump's second term, his deployment of the National Guard within the United States. Democrats railed against the dispatch of the military to American cities. Some Republicans on the committee vigorously defended the urban deployments. Sullivan did neither. When it was his turn to speak, he vigorously defended Guard deployments that no one is arguing about. He spoke about the National Guard's role repelling Russian and Chinese forces over the Pacific and the Bering Sea.
Because these are frontline operations going directly against our adversaries, wing to wing, when our fighters go intercept Russian bear bombers and MiGs that are armed. Dangerous work. We do it all the time up in Alaska.
Sullivan's campaign materials feature Trump's photo and endorsement prominently. Sullivan rarely criticizes him. Trump won a majority of Alaskan votes each time he was on the general election ballot. Still, even in a red state, a Republican candidate could face peril by sticking too close to Trump if some of his actions become toxic to voters. Sullivan last week left the constitutional debate to other senators. He brought up the National Guard's actions in western Alaska this fall when it rescued people after fierce storms washed their houses away. And Sullivan said when he was in the Marines in the 1990s, some in his battalion were sent to the southern border and some went to fight forest fires in the Pacific Northwest.
We were motivated Marines. The President of the United States told us to go different places and we went. That's what you do in the military.
Sullivan did not engage as Democrats, and independent Senator Angus King of Maine spoke passionately against the Guard deployments to Chicago and other cities where governors don't want them.
The idea that we are saying that the president has the power to, in his own mind, decide what an emergency is and then deploy troops into our cities, I think is exceedingly dangerous. And the people who founded this country thought so, too.
King read the words of several founding fathers who warned of tyranny if a president has a standing army to use against his own people. A Trump administration witness countered that George Washington himself sent soldiers to put down a citizens' rebellion in Pennsylvania. Senator Tim Sheehy of Montana was one of the Republicans who gave a full-throated defense of the urban deployments in support of the Trump administration's massive deportation campaign. Sheehy addressed his questions to the top general responsible for the defense of North America.
As a military commander, what do you feel is a greater threat to our national security? 500 volunteers, trained National Guardsmen, walking the streets of our cities, or 20 million illegal immigrants who've entered this country over the past 5 years?
The general did answer, but it hardly mattered. Sheehy, a freshman senator, was planting a rhetorical stake in the ground. Reporting from the U.S. Capitol, I'm Liz Ruskin.
That's all for tonight's KDLL Evening News. We had help from our own Ashlyn O'Hara, from Avery Elfelt in Haynes, and from Liz Ruskin in Washington, D.C. You can re-listen to this newscast and find our other stories online at kdll.org. I'm Jake Dye. Have a great night.